Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking to a fella whose parents were well known in this community. They have been around for a long time. His grandparents, as a matter of fact, started the company in which they're associated. We're talking to Pete Sutherland. Talk about his mom and dad, Mr. and Ms. John Sutherland, Sutherland Chevrolet, and also Pete, who is our mayor here in Nicholasville. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about the place where we live. Well, today I have a fellow who has been around here for quite a while and continues to be. His parents and his grandparents were around here for a long time, too. His name is Pete Sutherland. Now, Pete, you may recognize his name for a couple of reasons. One, his family was Sutherland Chevrolet, which is still in business today, but also Pete is our mayor here in Nicholasville, and we're going to talk about all those things today. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Doug. How are you today?
Doing fine, and I appreciate you coming in.
Glad to be here.
We got a lot of stuff to cover with your family, and I guess the best place maybe to start, because it is such an interesting story, is how the Sutherlands got started in the dealership with Chevrolet. Now, that's going to take us back how many years? 100?
Yes, Doug, is probably about 100, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But there was an interesting story that was told to me about how it came about that the dealership landed in the hands of your grandmother only. And she had a very significant honor, if you will, in this business. Tell us about that.
Well, what happened, Doug, was around 1932, her husband passed away unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So she was left with, I think, 7 children at the time. And so she was a really good, astute businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to be able to keep the Chevrolet franchise. And they were a little reluctant because in those days, women just didn't do that.
Now, how long had they had the Chevrolet franchise?
They sold Star and Durant.
Now, was that here in Nicholasville?
Mm-hmm. That was here in Nicholasville at that same location.
That's on Main Street.
On Main Street.
And for those people that are new, that may not know where we're talking about, it is the building right next to Central Bank, across the streets from CVS. Mindy's Dance Studio is in there now, and there is a kind of like a thrift goods store. I don't know the name, but that's
right.
Where we're talking. That lot right there. Okay.
The original building was Mindy's. Mindy's Dance Studio is today. That was the original building.
The left side,
okay. If you're looking at it.
Right, okay.
And so as things progressed and General Motors came about, then they took on the Chevrolet franchise. My grandfather did. But as I said, he passed away in 1932 unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And so from what I understand, L.R. Cook, who was a very strong dealer in Lexington, put in a good word for her. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, she's an excellent businesswoman, she'll do a good job. So she was able to hold on to the franchise, and she was actually the dealer in shortly thereafter in 1932.
Now, did she have to get, when you say he put in a good word, I'm assuming she had to get special permission to do this?
From
Chevrolet?
Yeah, that's right. They had to approve her as a franchise holder. Even today, a person has to be approved as a franchise holder.
But back then, it was more, it wasn't just approving her. The fact that she was female.
That's right.
That was the deal.
That was a big deal back then.
So, in being approved, was she
She could have been one of the very first female automobile dealers in the country.
In the country. Mm-hmm. So she kept it going.
She did.
And at some point, somewhere along the line, one of those 7 children, whose name was John,
right,
your dad, got interested in the business. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, I think my dad had been interested in the business most of his life. And then all of the brothers, I think Gene, Dud, and my dad, for sure, all went off to war, mm-hmm, like everybody did, mm-hmm, in the 1940s. And then after the war, Dad came back and his dealer plaque, which showed 25 years of being a Chevrolet dealer, was dated 1945. My grandmother probably turned over the dealership as far as not the whole business, but right. actually the title as Chevrolet dealer to him at that point.
Once he got back from the war.
Once he got back.
All right. Yeah. Now, at what point, was it before or after the war, did he meet your mother?
They met before the war. Mom was late to get married. She was a career woman, and she graduated from the University of Kentucky with a degree in social work.
Was she from here?
Yeah, she was from here.
Okay. What was her maiden name?
Evans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so she had met my dad, and I think after the war, Mom was working, and she wanted to establish her career before she got married and that type of thing. So she worked for the Lexington Children's Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
She made a lot of calls up in the mountains and that type of thing, working with kids mm-hmm. and orphans and that type of type. It was social work in the 1930s and early 1940s.
Yeah.
And so she had a degree from the University of Kentucky. Once she felt like that she had kind of proven herself, she and Dad got married.
Now, how did they meet? Do you know?
No, I don't know exactly okay. how they met, but it was Nicholasville was so small then, they probably knew each other.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Were they close to the same age?
Yeah, they were two years apart.
Yeah, might have gone to school together or anything.
Yeah.
Here, so, and that's the way it worked a lot. So they get married. He goes to war. He comes back. He gets the dealership. But your grandmother continued to work there with the dealership for a very long time, didn't she?
She did, yeah. She worked almost up until she was just physically unable to unable to come to work anymore. And she was a bookkeeper.
Were you, when you started, were old enough, because I know you and Mr. Donnie Gabbard, mm-hmm. kind of were young boys, I guess, when you kind of started messing around down there.
Uh-huh.
Miss Sutherland, your grandmother, still around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you were able to work mm-hmm. under her for
uh-huh.
a while.
Yeah, she was there for a long, long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, was it just pretty much evident that this was going to be your life growing up?
No. For me, Doug, I was at an event called Boys State, which you are in a high school, you're selected to go and young men go to in our case, we went to Eastern Kentucky University, mm-hmm. and you form a state government.
Yeah.
And during this whole process, there's all kinds of people that come and make talks and lectures and all this. And there was a guy that came in and talked about the Naval Academy, and I got fascinated with the military.
Yeah.
So I was unable to be accepted to the Naval Academy at first, so I decided to go to Marion, Alabama for a year and prep.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was there, I came back that summer, and I had a really good summer working and making. I made real good money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I decided at that point that that was really not the career I wanted to pursue. The Navy was not, and I wanted to get into the car business.
So you made good money selling cars.
Yeah.
And you must have done a heck of a job, because back then, a new car would have been how much?
I can remember when the Chevrolet Monte Carlo went over $7,000. Dad said we'd never sell another one. So back then, they were probably, a nice automobile was probably $5,500,
yeah,
somewhere along in there.
You know, and that brings up an interesting point. If he could see it now, he'd be amazed, wouldn't he?
He would, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday or a day before, and we were talking about, our parents and how technology has just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all these home movies that my dad did, and think about all the effort that he went to take these home movies and then take them to get them developed mm-hmm. and then put the screen up mm-hmm. and show with his family, and there was no sound. And today you can just do it with a telephone.
With your phone.
With a telephone.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. And the technology to watch those old movies he had, you can't hardly find anymore. So.
That's right, yeah.
Now, did your mother work there at the dealership?
She did for a very short time, mm-hmm. but that really wasn't her thing. She just, I think that she liked bookkeeping, but I think it was just, at that point, there was just too many of our family members were working there, and she decided that wasn't going to be for her.
Who are some of the people that you remember well growing up in that business that worked there that people may recognize?
Well, I remember Pete Knoll was one of our tremendous mechanics.
Yeah.
And we had Claudius White, and he was with us forever and ever. And A.B., I can't remember A.B.'s last name. Benny Isaacs started when he was like 16 or 17 and worked till the day he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our service manager for years everybody loved and still love is Jim Harrison.
Yeah.
He was just tremendous. Yeah.
Jim had a way about him with people that, you know, people could come in and maybe be a little upset. He could get them calmed down.
He could.
And
Jim,
talk to
Jim
him.
Just
he
knew had the not best way with customers and could really relate to them and like I say, get them calmed down if they were upset or whatever. And he did a great job for us. And we hated when he moved on, but I think he had a calling to do something else.
How did Don get involved? Now, you two, were you boyhood friends?
No, we, my dad was a great coffee drinker. He loved to go to Hempfields, drink coffee.
Yeah.
And so also, if you remember, there was a little corner drive-in. It's an insurance agency now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little restaurant in there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they go there for coffee. But one day, Mr. Gabbard came in and said, sat down next to my dad and said, "How would you like me to sell some of those used cars you got sitting there?" And so they struck up a conversation. And
now this was Bob Gabbard.
Yeah, this
Don's
was Bob.
Dad.
This
okay.
was Don's dad.
All right.
This was Bob. And this was, well, you know, Don and I started hanging out when we were 16. So Mr. Gabbard was probably working with Dad maybe 5 or 6 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
So they became good partners. They weren't actually partners, but they enjoyed working together. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Gabbard did a great job selling a lot of used cars for us. And then Don, who had originally worked at East Service Station mm-hmm. for a couple of years, he started coming to the dealership and working some. And Dad saw the potential he had. And before you knew it, Don was selling cars at 16 years old, mm-hmm. maybe 17.
Mm-hmm.
And people just loved him, and his dad was a great teacher, and that's
and he's still selling today.
He's still selling today.
He is part ownership.
He's part ownership.
Dealership. Yeah. Do you own any of them anymore?
No.
Okay.
No. I sold my part out in 2009.
Okay. Who owns it with Don?
Louis Gabriel.
Okay. So those two people are continuing the name though mm-hmm. of Southern Chevrolet.
They want to keep the name.
Sure, because so many people recognize that name. Mm-hmm. A lot of cars are sold. Now this building down here that was built by it was in the process when your granddad died.
Mm-hmm.
Very unique in the design. I know that it's been looked at several times, and if you people are driving down Main, just pay attention to it sometime because the design of the front, I can't remember the almost like Gothic Revival. I don't know what
it was.
They
call it Art Deco.
Art Deco. That's right. Yeah.
And then they have the there's the steel, or not steel, but they're concrete pillars that are up on each side of the building
mm-hmm.
are kind of like, I think they're called Empire. That's mm-hmm. part of mm-hmm. the architecture of the day. But the shape of the building and the front and all that.
It was very modern for its time.
It was.
It was very modern. Mm-hmm. Back, and that was, you said, in the 30s?
Yeah, it would have been probably 30, well, yeah, maybe late 30s.
Yeah.
It was after the Depression.
Now, you came back and did the car sales mm-hmm. and were in it for quite a while.
Yeah.
What part do you enjoy the most?
Well, I have to say what I really enjoyed the most was the people. I never looked at them like that, but we were all a close knit group, mm-hmm. and you know they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was just a great group of people that we had and had put together, and that's what I miss the most.
Another person that since you brought that up that I thought about was Miss Brumfield.
Oh gosh,
she was there for a long time, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. She was Dad's bookkeeper, and I'm telling you, if when she handed you that monthly statement, you knew it was right.
Yeah,
it was really good.
And there's still you talking about people that are still there.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Lowry. Worked in the office. That's what her maiden name was. She's got Barbara Williams was a sister, and Nancy, and there's three of those girls, and I'm drawing a blank.
I'm sorry too.
But she worked there. I remember working in that front office, Miss Brumfield. Debbie Stennett
uh-huh.
was in there also.
Yeah.
I think Melinda. Well, I can remember this in the 80s. Melinda Cobb. She used to be.
Yeah.
Worked there
and,
for a while.
Debbie. She was a Debbie Locker,
mm-hmm.
and she was there for a while. We had a lot of nice people.
Back even in the back, I mean, when I say the back, I'm talking about the garage, folks. I mean, mm-hmm. you had people, Ralph Preston.
Yeah.
Gosh, I just keep
Ralph was
seeing
there for
people.
A real long time.
Yeah.
And Everett. Everett was there for long time.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry McConathy.
Mm-hmm.
They all worked for us for a long time.
Now, at some point in time, well, first off, let's talk a little personal about you. Let's talk about your kids. How many do you have?
I have 5 children.
Tell us their names, where they are, and what they're doing.
Lindsay's my oldest, and she's in Bowling Green, and she's works for a pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
Brock is the second son. He coaches soccer at mm-hmm. West High. Evan is the third son, and he runs a soccer program in Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. And then Graydon works for Gibson Design. They do all kinds of home remodeling and mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Grace, my daughter, is that lives with us right now, is 14, and she's at West High.
At West, you've got you're like me. My little one just turned 14. I uh-huh. finally have the youngest one in high school.
Yeah.
So eventually we're going to get them done.
We'll
get them out. And tell us about Sylvia.
And Sylvia is, she works at the library here in Nicholasville, and we've been married be, I think, 21 years this year.
Wow, that's gone quick.
So it has. Yeah.
So you decide to get out of the car business.
Yeah, we had bought a dealership in Lawrenceburg back in 2003, and things were, that was, you know, as we were moving toward the recession, and mm-hmm, then when mm-hmm. it really hit, the damage that Lawrenceburg had done to me financially just mm-hmm. made it really, really tough at those times. And I thought, man, if we can find somebody to do this, take my place, and keep the business. That was mm-hmm. the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And we were very strapped for cash at that time. Mm-hmm. And so Don was able to find Louie, and we made a great, they made me a great proposal, and I was able to step out.
Before we go on to what you did after that, mm-hmm. we unfortunately lost Mom and Dad.
Yes.
Let's talk mm-hmm. about your dad. One thing I remember about him, unfortunately did not get to enjoy his retirement.
No, he died in 80, I think it was 87.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he had been sick.
No, I'm sorry. It was 97.
Yeah, because he got sick in 87,
yeah,
didn't
that's
he?
That's right, yeah.
And did not get to enjoy the fruits of his labor, if you will. Your mom, when did she pass?
She passed in 2007.
Yeah, so August. Another 10 years after mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
I must tell this story about your dad. And my connection to Sutherland Chevrolet and how it all came about. Back in 1983, I was preparing to go to work for Mildred Williams at clerk's office, and she told me that she couldn't get me in until the first of the year. And I said, that was fine. So I thought, well, I'll just take a few weeks off. You know, I was at home, but I didn't really have anything but a car payment. And I happened to be president of the Lions Club that year, which your father was in that group for a long time,
yeah.
A very big supporter of the Lions Club. Well, it just so happened that one of the meetings, I jokingly said, oh, by the way, if anybody knows of a job, let me know. And after the meeting, he came up and he said, do you need a job? And I said, well, I'm going to work for Mildred, but I'm not doing anything for the next couple of months. Well, why don't you come down and try to sell some cars? And I thought, what? And he said, yeah, so come down tomorrow and see you and uh-huh. him, and we'll see what we can do. And he said, you need a check until you go to work up there, knowing full well I was going to go to Mildred.
Uh-huh.
I think, as it turned out, she had me in come in early. I was with you guys for 8 weeks, and I hope I at least made my salary.
We hated for you to go.
But I can tell you this. It was not my favorite job that I've ever had. And you know, I'm better behind one of these microphones and stuff. But anyway, I always appreciate the fact that your dad – and you, but he was willing to step up, because in 1983, you know, I was 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
He was willing to step up, and I always figured, because we were fellow Lions, that he was willing to say, hey, I'm going to help you out. And I never forgot that. He treated me so very, very good, and I had a good time in working those. And you mentioned Bob Gabbard. What a hoot to work with him and all of those guys down there. Now, you went on and got out of the business, but at some point in time, I remember, and I think it was Halloween, that my wife and I had a couple of our kids over in your subdivision,
mm-hmm.
and I saw you on a golf cart, and you informed me that you were going to try something new, and that was to run for city commissioner.
I remember that.
I already had been a city commissioner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did that come about that you wanted? Was it the Boys State thing from the year before?
No. But I'd always had kind of a little urge to try to and more to be involved in local politics. And so after I left the dealership, I was visiting with a couple of friends one evening, and I was talking, and I said, I just really need to come up with something that I want to do. I don't know what I want to do, and I need to find something to do. And I have to say this, Shane Floyd was sitting there, and he said, Pete says you need to run for city commissioner. He said, everybody knows you, and, you know, everybody that knows you likes you, so he said, you have a great chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, do you think I should? And next thing you know, I started talking to a couple other people, mm-hmm. and they thought it would work. And so I ran, and it was very successful mm-hmm. the first time. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of advice. In fact, mm-hmm. I got a lot of advice from you.
Yeah, you came down and saw me at the office.
We sat down, sure visited, did. And talked about it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of hard work, as you well know, goes into earning the trust of people to gain public office.
You're exactly right.
Especially in local elections.
Yeah.
And I always say that I think some of the most important elections are the local elections because they affect you the most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They affect our community the mm-hmm, most. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, won the first term and then went back and ran again. And then when Russ decided to run for state representative, I had finished real well the last race, and so I thought, well, I'll try to run for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to our city clerk, and I said, Roberta, I said, this is going to be a pretty tough job, and I said, what do you think? She says, if you run, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
So the rest is history.
And there you are.
Yeah.
It is a hard job, and people I don't think realize and give enough credit to legislative leaders in our town.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I don't even remember what the subject was, but I remember one time when I was fortunate enough to be on that board, we had a pretty controversial thing going on. That meeting room was full.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking back into that room before we voted and making the comment that the bad part about tonight is that half of you are going to leave here mad at me,
mm-hmm.
no matter what I do.
No matter what you do.
So yeah. I'm going to have some people really like me and some people not really like me. But you know what? As long as you sit in that chair, and I learned this as commissioner because people told me, as long as you sit in that chair and do what you think's right for our community mm-hmm. and are upfront about it, that's okay. I had a mm-hmm. guy come to me after I left, and you'll appreciate this, and he said, I want to say something to you. This is when I decided to go to be circuit clerk.
Uh-huh.
He said, I did not always agree with the way you voted,
mm-hmm.
but I always knew where you were going to, where you stood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, that means as much to me as you being on my side all the time. The fact that I knew you wasn't going to flip-flop on me.
That's
you
right.
just told it like it was, yep. and that's the way it was.
And the way you saw it.
And, that's important, Pete, and I know you all have found that out, especially in your time at city government, that you're not going to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're straight with them and explain and there's no surprises with them, they
That's
appreciate
right.
that.
If they ask you, what you think on a certain mm-hmm. matter and how you're going to vote, and you tell them what you're going to do
mm-hmm.
and tell them why, and I think they respect that.
They do. I think people do. And, that's the way it should work.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we've been really fortunate here, I think, in our community where we've not had some of those off the wall, crazy, get out. People just get completely out of their skins. It's run pretty good. It's run pretty smooth.
We're really excited right now, Doug. And there is so much positive going on right now
uh-huh.
that's gonna benefit us all. If you don't mind, I'll just tell
sure.
a couple of
yeah.
things. We
yeah.
we recently got our the Work Ready Community designation,
mm-hmm.
which is that's something that we've been working on for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that business and government and the school system are all working hand in hand to educate our young people and people that are going back like for a GED and getting
right.
out and giving them skills that will make them hireable at these new factories.
Sure.
Now, if you have the Work Ready Community, then that designation alone tells companies that are looking to locate
mm-hmm.
that you take this seriously,
mm-hmm.
that your community is putting an effort forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And then at the same time, we are looking at some property that we are hoping to be able to develop as a new industrial park, which
oh, yeah.
will have us some a good bit of land. It's going to be in a great location, and we have a new joint economic development director that's working really hard. We're doing everything we can to bring some big businesses in here, and I'm talking at least one or two tier ones. Now, those are top shelf. Those are 250 employees or more.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what we're
that's
hoping.
A lot of people.
Now, what's the advantage if we bring these businesses in? Well, you've got large, expensive pieces of property and factories that are going to pay property tax.
Mm-hmm.
They take very little of your services.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a lot of police and fire
mm-hmm.
to take
mm-hmm.
care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have payroll tax. You bring in 250, 500 jobs,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking for jobs of any kind. If your company's got 30 jobs – That's great.
Sure.
We're excited.
Exactly.
We're gonna be happy to have you. But these jobs provide payroll tax, mm-hmm. and then that helps pay for your services, and that takes the burden off homeowners that are paying property tax,
right.
so you don't have to be jacking your property
right.
tax up every year.
Well, and it also benefits, it's a ripple effect. It also benefits people because if you bring those people in here, they're going to go to our local restaurants,
businesses.
Our local businesses,
yeah.
they're going to our local churches. There, I mean, there's everybody benefits by
That's
those
right.
new people in the economic world.
I That's
mean,
right.
It happens. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, and this kind of ties it all together, and you can't get anything done in this world today unless you have some good partners. Now, you just mentioned the school system and those people. But I think, and I have always felt, that there never was any better example of partnerships mm-hmm. than the one I'm going to mention to you. And that was the friendship between your dad and Bobby Sellers. Now, folks, for those that don't know, of course, John Sutherland had Chevrolet dealership right across the street where CVS Pharmacy is now. There was a building. And that was the Ford dealership. And it was owned by a fellow named, well, first it was Mr. Keller, but Bobby Sellers ended up owning this. They were competitors. They watched each other to see who was mm-hmm. selling the Fords and who was selling the Chevys. But I don't know that there was any two closer friends in that I know of that were mm-hmm. competitors than those two. And I think those two in their lives, and I can remember even at the end when your dad was getting to the point where he really maybe wasn't able to drive, Bobby would go get him and bring him to mm-hmm. our Lions Club meetings.
Yep,
I mean,
that's right.
That's a friend. Bobby yeah. wasn't a member, but he yeah. brought John to be there. That, to me, just shows you it's okay to be competitive. Mm-hmm. But to be friends like that, too, if they can do it, anybody can do it. But that they were both successful.
Yeah, they were. They were best friends. Bobby would go see my dad at the nursing home when Dad was there. And then one time that I remember during the visitation after Dad had passed away, Bobby came up to my mother. And, of course, he was very good to my mother. After Dad died, he checked on her. And they both had a love of birds, and they fed the birds, and they talked about their cardinals and all this type mm-hmm. of thing. But he told Mom, he said, I've lost my best friend in life.
Yeah.
And they were best friends.
And there's not many people that compete in business that can say that.
That's right. We even vacationed together when I was little. We went on vacation at least three times together.
Yeah. And you and I, both being in the political world, mm-hmm. I mean, especially if it's somebody runs against you,
yeah.
you don't hate them. But it's kind of hard to go on vacation and be like they were.
That's right.
So when yeah. you find a couple like that, and I think of all the things that I ever knew about John Sutherland, that relationship with a competitor like Bobby is what impressed me mm-hmm. the most. And we brought it up on this program before because it just shows you that you can be successful, but you can be partners in relationship. You can have a business against each other, but you can be friends and you can survive and you can make this town better.
That's
and
right.
they both did. Pete, our time is up, believe it or not, but I appreciate you coming in. It's been very interesting and sharing with us more about the Sutherland family and what it's meant for this community and what it still means and your involvement and Sylvia's involvement in the library. And of course, your kids now are giving back and the coaching and all that kind of stuff. So for over 100 years, the Sutherlands has been part of this county, and we hope they're here for a long, long time.
Well, thank you, Doug. It was a pleasure to be with you, and maybe we'll come back and do it again sometime.
Right. Thanks,
okay.
Pete.
Thanks.
My thanks to Pete Sutherland for coming in this morning and sharing a little bit about his family and the business they were involved in and his involvement in our community. And I appreciate you coming in every Saturday for All Things Jessamine. We learn a little bit more about the place where we live. I also invite you to tune in every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. I've got a regular show then. We'll get you up and get you going. We do it right here on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.